time for Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Moving out, Dave?
I heard that Costco's not moving out. Is that the story?
You know who's not moving out is Costco. We're going to be talking about that today. We'll probably hold a lot of that discussion at the bottom of the hour when we hope to have Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett call in and join us. You know who is moving?
Who's moving?
Some of the kids in some of the schools.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yesterday she was talking about the redistricting.
Yeah. So we had Kathy Goss, the chair, actually, the Salem Kaiser School Board, and saying that there's redistricting. And there's articles about this. I'm going to direct. Here we go. KYKN.com, right? There's the website. You find out information about the show and the whole station. But also there's links to stories from the Salem Reporter.
Right.
And I'm a subscriber. We had the publisher, Les Seitz, on a couple of weeks ago. He did great. And anyway, two of the top stories you get from the Salem Reporter we're going to talk about today. And one, of course, is the Costco.
Yes.
And another one is redistricting. And I want to wrap that up from yesterday. But first of all, hey, welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne. We're talking local topics, local individuals, initiatives, institutions, and ideas. So you're sandwiched between some great input from talk radio hosts, but this hour, this noon hour, reserved to talking about local topics. And you can check out the website. You can email us, kyknnewsmakers@gmail.com, kyknnewsmakers@gmail.com, if you'd like to be on the show, if you have an idea for the show, if you want to provide feedback for the show. Also, today, you might get fired up. You might get fired up and you might get curious, because we're also going to talk about gasoline, and it seems to be the public's obsessed with not just the cost, but everything gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know I used to be a gasoline retailer?
I heard that about you.
So, yeah, I've been fielding questions for 20 years. So I thought it
20 years?
What? 25.
Okay.
to see if people have questions about gasoline and the different kinds of things of that. We're going to talk about that. Because people are traveling for the holidays.
Right.
And the public is fascinated somehow.
I used a lot of it myself.
Yeah, I know you do. All right. So you may want to call in. 503-393-1430 is the call-in line. 503-393-1430, like 1430 KYKN. So you're going to be fired up today, or you'd be curious, but sure to give us a call if you want to join in the conversation. Okay. Let's go back. I want to wrap up that conversation about the border changes in Salem Kaiser schools. Just a little bit. I felt we kind of left that incomplete as far as the discussion. One of the things, and Kathy Goss referred to it yesterday, they want to make sure that there's no racial element.
You can't.
I'm like,
how do you get
okay,
a,
so
you can't avoid that.
Well, they don't want the appearance of. I mean, I'm pretty confident that nobody's going, hey, where are we going to put the, you know,
right?
Where are we put the French kids, right?
Yeah,
where are we
right?
going to put the Taiwanese kids? Blah blah blah. I'm pretty confident that that's not happening, but they also want to avoid the appearance of it.
Well, you can't do it without the appearance of it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You can't.
I know. In America today,
you cannot
no matter what,
do it.
You can't tie your shoe without somebody thinking it's at some sort of racial undertone. So, you know, racism is not everywhere, folks. It is not everywhere.
It's not as prevalent as they
but
try to make
it. But when you have a school
seem.
That has 2,200 students and you got a school that has 1,800 students, you have to make rearrange things. And it's
just
not
a little bit.
Political gerrymandering. Speaking of which, next week on the show, we're going to have Kevin Mannix. Next week's going to be great. We're going to have Kevin Mannix talking about redistricting. We're going to have Julie, the president, I'm trying to avoid saying her last name, Huckestein.
Okay.
We'll find out next week if I'm pronouncing that correctly. The president, Shemeketa, will be here. We'll have Representative Kim Thatcher.
Nice.
It's going to be a great week. So stay tuned and make sure you set your calendars and not miss Newsmakers. Okay. So gasoline and Costco. And you know what? I went somewhere this weekend. It was by accident. I got a text from my son. He was at the Saturday Market's Christmas Bazaar.
Okay.
Salem Fairgrounds. Oregon Fairgrounds here in Salem. It was amazing. It was amazing. I went there and I'm like, oh, I should have spent like 3 days here. I definitely could have spent, you know, $3,000 there, but two buildings. I will not miss it, and encourage the public, check it out. It's gone now, unfortunately. Wow. So I'm walking around. I was just, you know, I was just window shopping. I was there to see my son and blah, blah, blah. And next thing I know, oh, well, give me two of those. Oh, look at that. I need three of those.
Right.
And I came by five different booths in which I bought something. And I wasn't even heading out to buy anything. I was like, why did I do any Christmas shopping before the Christmas Bazaar? Great event. Great local event.
They're always great. My wife likes to go to those too. And I always don't want to go in because I know I'm going to buy something.
And sometimes I don't like, you know, kitschy crafts and this and that.
No, but there's unique gifts.
But wow. They were amazing crafts. Yeah. They were amazing artwork and amazing foods. And
a lot of talent out there.
And alcohol, actually, was also...
What?
Oregon has branched out. And Oregon doesn't just do breweries anymore. Now they do distilleries. They do small batch distilleries, like Spiritopia, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Corvallis, Albany area. And they make this stuff with ginger. They make stuff with apples. And it's really... Yeah, it's
good stuff.
Anyway, there were several of those and lots of different kinds of soap.
Well, you're trying to stay clean. So.
Right. So handmade soap. All right. That's enough on the Saturday markets and the Christmas bazaar. But put it on your calendar for next year. And I'll probably actually, it's going to drive me to the Saturday market, which is downtown here in Salem, more often next summer. Okay. So we're going to talk about Costco. Costco... we'll set this up for calls, 503-393-1430. Probably the bottom of the hour, we'll really get into it with Mayor Chuck, and he'll call in. Hopefully, we'll get him. I know he had a busy noon hour, but Chuck Mennon will hopefully join us and talk about the council decision to reverse a planning commission decision to allow Costco to build on Kubler Boulevard. And we were just talking about this.
We were.
And I can see an argument of both ways. Now, here's the land use decision made by the Planning Commission. The staff had approved it and so forth. They were ready to build, and there were going to be some outbuildings. We had Kurt Arthur on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how the outbuildings would be smaller in scope, pads, as they call it in real estate. And you would get a coffee shop, and you might get a convenience store, and a food place or something.
Yeah.
And that would serve more regionally. But Costco itself would be big, and it would have gasoline. And it would have a lot of pumps, and it would create, at least the neighbors complain, it would create a lot of traffic.
Well, that's like not in my backyard kind of thing.
Yeah.
My question is, how much did Costco spend did they redo the intersections around there already?
Well, actually, the developer is building on it on behalf of Costco. So the developer owns the lot.
Okay. And they already did the intersections, didn't they?
They spent... over $2 million. It's been like $2 million
exactly.
10 years ago, basically to add a lane. So if you're in South Salem, folks, and you travel Kubler and you've been there a while, you know what I'm talking about. It used to be choked down to one lane, and anybody who was commuting to Portland, anybody who needed to get to I-5 was choked out.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened when we had a group of no-growth people on city council in the 90s and slowly started getting out of that in the early 2000s. But they said, hey, we need to make this small. Because if you make it with more lanes, people will want to drive it. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah,
does that sound anything like people who don't want a bridge right now?
Yeah.
So everybody in South Salem just got choked in traffic, and they're spewing out their carbon hydrofuels, mm-hmm. right, in stop-and-go traffic. But anyway, we digress. So the developer, in order to get the permits to develop this thing and the land use actions that they needed, they were exacted. You need to make, at least on your side of the street, made a Kubler two through lanes in both directions from Commercial Street to the highway.
Okay.
Commercial Street to the highway. And not only the two through lanes, you need to have a right turn lane on every intersection. You have to have a dedicated left turn lane on every intersection, and you need to pay for it. So they paid for all of that 10 years ago. So the developer did. So now they have an anchor tenant in Costco from which to build,
mm-hmm.
so that they can finally start making an investment out of the thing. So it gets approved. Everything's good. It gets called up, which is a political process where If the Planning Commission approves it or doesn't approve it, a city councilor can call it up from the Planning Commission for review by the city council, and they're the final say for the city. So the city councilor pulled it up, they reviewed it, and decided no.
Wow.
All right. So that you want to talk about Costco and Kubler and the traffic, the change, the Hawthorne and Mission Street location, give us a call at 503-393-1430. We're only going to bump you for the mayor, but you get to have your say today.
That.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So there's arguments on both sides. We'll talk to the mayor about it.
I don't even know what to say.
And I think the distinction is when they're talking about land use and rules, because they really aren't supposed to make this stuff up willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
Is the distinction is Costco a regional draw or is it a local draw? So,
ooh.
Yeah. And honestly,
I'm
not against having the development done. However, I get that I drive by two Roth Fresh Markets on my way to Costco when I lived in South Salem.
Okay.
So the Ross would be considered a neighborhood or, you know,
sure,
kind of a neighborhood store and a Costco. Somebody could make the argument it's going to draw regionally.
Okay.
So I had a good friend that used to work for Costco in marketing, and she would market from Lincoln City to Detroit. So a contention that Costco is neighborhood, I don't know. They want to be along I-5. So maybe they're going to have to be forced to find a new location to
by the airport.
No, we need airport for all things airport needed. But maybe
there's
some plot
of land on the airport they could do. One of the corners?
A new location from which to grow with gas and so forth, probably along I-5. And the developer will have to find a new anchor tenant to develop. They may have to start from scratch. So I don't know that much about it.
Maybe, that's a lot of money.
Maybe we'll have Kurt Arthur back on for developments as time goes on. And we'll talk to the mayor here in a bit. So also your questions, we're going to talk right after the break. We're going to talk about gasoline. Everyone's going to be traveling, going to go to grandmother's house they go. I used to be a gasoline retailer. So subjects like self-serve and what octane should I buy? And does anybody test the stuff? Is there any difference between Safeway gas and Fred Meyer gas, Costco gas and Chevron's? It's ARCO. What about ARCO? All those questions. If you've got one, give us a call. In the meantime, we'll be back right after this. You'd listen to 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, and we're at your noon hour every weekday, talking about local topics and issues. And as I promised before the break, we're going to talk about gasoline. So many of us are going to travel in our cars, and we're going to fill up. And if you have a question or if you have some input, give us a call, 503-393-1430. I used to be a gasoline retailer, family-owned gas stations, four of them here in town. And it was amazing how interesting. You'd go to a party, you'd go to a barbecue, you'd go to a business meeting, and people would ask me questions about gasoline. And so I've always thought the public's obsession with the cost of gasoline was interesting.
Right.
Just obsessed. Like, where is the cheapest? Where's the cheapest one?
Where's the cheapest best gas?
Yeah.
That's so what I
there's
want.
There's that. And I don't know. I'm a busy gentleman. And even back then, I was a busy sort. And people would come in. I had this one guy come in, and he made a point to tell me that it was 2 cents cheaper 5 miles away. I'm like, okay. And he says, I'm only going to get 5 gallons because I'm out of, and then, but later today, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to fill up because they're 2 cents cheaper.
Like, yeah. Okay.
You couldn't pay me $5 to add an errand in my day. And this guy was going to save like a quarter.
Right.
Right. 12 gallons, 2 cents. And he was going to put another errand in his day to save a quarter, but he was obsessed with what is the price point. Another one is my favorite one. I got a lot of funny stories, actually. But this gentleman, he comes in, and we owned an ARCO station at the time. And I know people are familiar with that brand. And he came in and says, hey, is this the same gas they sell over on this other street? I said, yep. Uh-huh. Same gas. Yeah. He goes, well, they're selling it over there 2 cents cheaper. And like, it was a gotcha.
Right.
So, uh-huh. You know, like, well, yeah, I got you. I'm like, what? And here's the point. That gas station is enormous. So they're buying volume and they could fill it. My gas station was tiny. So I could price with them, but I wouldn't have been able to handle the traffic. Two, I took credit cards in the island and the other company didn't.
Right.
Right. So yeah. There's a value add and there's an expense. And there was, so yeah, it's the same gas. And this is this corner and that's over there. And it's a different offering. My customers didn't have to get out of the car and the other guy's customers had to get out of the car. So we're just going to get a different customer. But he really thought that he had, boy, I showed you.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, he couldn't conceive that there were different market forces other than, and I wanted to say, and I should have said, hey, you've ever heard of Curly's Dairy Milk? You know, we've all seen it in the local grocery stores. Yeah, Curly's Dairy. Is it exactly the same price every day at Fred Meyer that is at Safeway, that is at Roth's, that is at,
right.
You know?
No. Whatever.
No. Well, it's just weird. Why the public wants an interesting thing about gas. All right. So first question I get is there some difference between the different brands? Do you have a question? I mean, I know you drive a nice car.
I do. I have to use premium.
You have to use premium.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's tuned for that.
Yeah.
For the higher octane.
Yeah. Margins are higher for both the dealer and the oil company in premium.
Right. I don't know why.
That's why if you pay attention, you watch the commercials for Chevron, Texaco, so you will see they're always advertising their premium brand. They never say, hey, come buy some regular from us.
Right.
Yeah. And I can't spew the numbers anymore, but how much more it costs to refine that 92 octane is not the 20-30 cent spread that you see.
No.
So that is, you know, it's a fatter margin product, and that's what you always see advertised. So,
right.
So you buy premium in your nice car. Are you stuck to one brand? Are you loyal?
I am not, but I have been lately going to Fred Meyer because I find that I'm getting better gas mileage on their brand, which is probably a generic brand of gasoline.
It's exactly a generic brand.
Yes.
Thank you for leading me into that.
Yes.
All right. So is there a difference between the major brands? My opinion, I'll try to stick things I know and things that are on my opinion. I don't think there's any difference in the major brands anymore. There was a period of time in which ARCO was the only company in the state that had a 10% ethanol blend. Okay. There was a period of, I don't know, a few years that did that. And then it was mandated and all the oil companies went to that 9 or 10% ethanol blend. So now, no, it's pretty much all the same. They're all coming down a pipeline. There's one pipeline, the Olympic pipeline from Washington. It's getting offloaded in the Columbia at the, right? Another fun fact, it's coming down this pipeline, right? And all the shipments, the Chevron Premium and, you know, the Mobil Regular, and all this is coming down one pipeline.
It's what they add to it, right? The additives.
Yes, they add it at the terminal.
So, right.
But it's, these X number of thousands, tens of thousands of gallons. They separate the batches with a rubber ball. They send a rubber ball down the pipeline with it so they know that that patch is done. Anyway, kind of funny. Anyway, they do get the additives.
Right.
They're things that are proprietary that only happens at the Chevron terminal. But sometimes there's shortages. It's actually very scary, people. We take our gasoline for granted. But between your car and your local gas station and the terminal in Portland and the Olympic pipeline and the refinery up in Anacortes or that region, we don't have... There's not a week of product. There's not even a single week of product.
Really?
In that entire distribution. So when there's an issue with that pipeline, when there's an issue with the refinery, they really are choked in a hurry. When you see, you know, rapid jumps, it's because an oil company doesn't have the product to sell, and they're trying to discourage people from buying from them because they don't have enough product to sell. So that absolutely happens. And there were times as a dealer where I was limited to how much gas I could buy. And that's in the 2000s. So we're not, you know, a major brand and this and that. It's, wow. All right, let's get back to the questions. Major brand, I think they're all the same. We always have an anecdote about, well, my car knocks on blank.
It does.
Yeah.
Mine does.
Yeah. And then there's Costco and there's Safeway and there's Fred Meyer. So the big box stores, What I would tell the public, this is a Brent perspective, is those are not oil companies. Those are not oil companies. Those are people that need supply. They're buying unbranded product in the open market. So they go to the marketplace and say, we need X number of millions of gallons in the Oregon, Washington region to supply our stores. Who's the lowest bidder? So I kind of giggle a little bit when somebody with a $90,000 car is sitting in line for 25 minutes to buy an unbranded product. And I think, are you going to go into that store and buy the black and white label coffee? Right? Are they going to buy? Are they going to make Starbucks and Pete's and Seattle's Best or whatever the brands are? I'm not a coffee drinker, but are you going to go in? I mean, really? But you're going to put unbranded fuel in your $90,000 vehicle? I don't know. That
of course
scratches my head.
That one takes premium too, of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, I don't know.
Price, high performance cars are in the manual. It says 92. Actually,
yep.
More than 91 octane.
Which is another question. Which one should I burn? Hey, if you've got a late model car, if you've got anything built in the last 20 years.
Regular.
Burn what the owner's manual says to burn.
Yeah, right.
That's it. The engineering these days with the fuel injection and how it's supposed to burn and how much. Buy what the owner's manual says to buy. It's not the same as it was in the 60s when you had these carburetors.
Yeah. No.
And there was a difference in I don't know. Anyway, that's my advice. Yes, there's a reason, and be like Dave here and keep track of your mileage and find out, you know, hey, if it'll flex. I just had this question last week, actually. It kind of prompts the conversation. I can run 89. I can run 91. What should I do? I said, keep track of your mileage and find out not how many miles per gallon do you get, but how many miles per dollar do you get?
Right.
So if you
I go by tank. So
yeah, if you get more more miles out of 92 for the money, 91, 92 octane, then buy that. So anyway, that's an easy one to kind of put to bed forever, unless you're driving around in a 1965 something or other. A couple of quick hits. There's no such thing as watered down gas. They don't mix. So you hear that phrase a lot.
Yeah, that's true. I've heard that.
Ethanol, originally, when gasohol was a thing, they were using methanol, and methanol with an M.
Which
that didn't work
better.
Very well. Work very well because it would it affected the rubber parts and the sealants of the engines.
That explains
disaster,
that.
Right?
I had to rebuild my carburetor because of that.
Methanol went away years ago, and then they started using ethanol, and ethanol works. So the knock on ethanol is that it will clean out the gunk in your fuel system. So if you had an older car, say you're driving a 1972 Mustang II or something, it is going to clean out the gunk and the people would sputter and then have to replace their fuel filters more often. But in the late model cars, there's not so much gunk in those things and ethanol is not really an issue anymore. There was, do we have a caller?
We
got to go?
Yeah.
Ah, it's too bad. So many more things to talk about. Gas, we got Costco, we got the mayor coming on.
He's waiting.
And the mayor is waiting. So hold on there. We'll be right back with Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back, folks. We've got the mayor holding on the line to talk about what happened at City Council last night. We were talking at the top of the hour, going to set up the conversation about Costco and the land use decision that happened. Welcome, Mayor Bennett.
Hi, Brent. Welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Did you have a good time last night?
No.
At least he's honest.
There you go.
That's not the way you describe that. Those are challenging public hearings when you have neighbors very concerned about development in their backyard and the rest of the community very concerned that the community should be growing and our economy should be moving along. So, we had a real conflict going on in that way.
So which councilor was it that brought it up to be reviewed by the council? Was that
I think Councillor McCoy. This is in his ward.
Yes, so that makes sense. All right. Yeah. So you had a huge turnout, right? A lot of people turned out for the break.
We had the fire marshal seating people to make sure we had the right number of seats. We had the Anderson room available, and I don't know if we had an overflow or not. But it was a very good turnout. We've received hundreds of emails on the Costco issue. No other issue, as long as I've been on council, has about maybe now. Even chickens were second to Costco.
The chicken issue, the never-dying chicken issue.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah. And but it's been hundreds, and it's been predominantly in favor of allowing Costco to proceed with its long, you know, with the longstanding plan on this property for a shopping center out there on Kubler and Boone, sort of in that area.
We talked about this property with commercial real estate advisor Kurt Arthur a couple of weeks ago, and what the intent was, and that there would be a Costco and there would be gas and there would also be pads for additional types of retail.
That's correct. There'd be about just under 300,000 square feet of retail space on the whole property.
So
24 acres.
Tell us, wrap up on the both sides of the issue. What is, you know, what's the nut? What is, this is why I'm against it, this is why I'm for it.
Yeah, I think at the heart of the why I'm against it is, number one, it's in my neighbor. It's in my neighborhood. That area, although long, it was zoned 12 years ago for commercial retail. There's two very large lots out there, parcels out there, zoned commercial retail. This is one of them. It is adjacent to a neighborhood that has grown up out there, and there is heavy traffic on Kubler Road. So the traffic issue is a very big one. The thing that's ironic is the only reason traffic works out there is that Pack Trust, the property owner, has invested millions of dollars in improving Kubler in advance of the commercial retail use of that property, which is what it's zoned for. And then the folks in favor, number one, you know, everybody likes Costco. That was one of the universal comments. We all are members and we all like Costco. That's not the issue. It's not, you know, it's not some other big box store we don't like. This is one we like. And there was some discussion about, well, it's a member organization. It was kind of, that got a little goofy, but and really was off track. But it seemed to move at least one of the councilors. Again, the traffic issue. And then there are eight white oaks out there that would have to come down for the Costco to be sited on the property with its parking lot. And then they would plant over 50 white oaks to replace the eight. No sale with some folks who want the older oak trees.
But we want these trees, right?
Right.
Never mind the fact that they're not their trees, and there is nothing in Salem statutes that protects those trees on a commercial lot. They do in residential lots.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, it depending on the site plan, and when they worked out all of the different ways of configuring the site, they could not do it and keep the white oaks, and that's kind of the test. It's a special tree. It has a historic significance in the valley, particularly pre-settlement, white settlement years, that's kind of it. And then there's people who I think just, you know, you can't cut a tree without people getting very, very upset in this town.
But they're going to plant 50 more.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. And when you're talking to somebody who doesn't want any trees, they're not rational people.
Right.
And what I always found surprising is we all love trees. We all want trees in our yard. We want them in our neighborhood. We want them in our parks. It's not like we don't love trees. It's just that we don't see the value of stopping everything and then replanting. Anyway, so that's...
For it, quite simply, 12 years ago, the Planning Commission and City Council rezoned that property for commercial retail. and set certain conditions, all of which had been met by PAC Trust or Costco or both in advance, and that was their presentation. They had done the traffic studies. The traffic is manageable out there. Ironically, Brent, you'd have loved this. Brent, they had talked about congestion. Now, remember, the councilors generally who opposed the Costco project last night also oppose the so-called third bridge, which has resulted in congestion throughout our city. And they were the ones who seemed really driven by this suggestion of some congestion on Kubler, Boone, 27th, and some of the streets out there. But they are not caring about congestion. I'm looking at it right now. I'm over on Liberty at City Hall. It's packed up. It's headed back toward Mission Street from down at the Parkway. I mean, it's just really packed here.
So they can't decide
and
if they're for congestion.
Part of it is that we don't have a secondary river crossing site. So you explain it to me. That bothered me. I thought that was sort of difficult for anyone to defend, but that's me. I get pretty simplistic.
Well, Mayor Bennett, I would tell you that some of your finer moments when you raise but aren't you saying, and there's a contradiction, and when you point that out. I thought Mayor Clark as well from Kaiser had one of the best moments when talking about the bridge and said, we don't direct, if we have to get to the other side of I-5, we go into the east side. You know, I'm sure you'll recall, you sat through the whole dang thing. We go to the east side, we don't just force everybody to go through at Market Street. You can get on the east side of 5 at Mission Street and Kubler and blah, blah, blah. And there's lots of State Street, lots of other ways to get to the east side. But if you want to go to the west side, we've choked everything into one and only one option, and that involves going through downtown. But we're talking about Costco and down on Kubler. So let me ask you this. Is there an opportunity for the developer and or Costco to appeal?
Yes, and I fully expect them to. If they appeal, I believe very strongly they'll win. There were really no grounds for denying it last night. It was pretty obviously a political decision. It didn't have, usually with land use issues like this, you'll have what are called findings, or you'll give reasons so that the staff can put together a batch of reasons to do this. And frankly, there were just none that stuck. So I don't know what the staff's going to do to make a finding, but it's going to be pretty lame. And I think that if and we knew this in advance, that if PAC Trust or Costco wanted to go to the Land Use Board of Appeals or the Circuit Court and argue this thing, they'd do very, very well. This is using a site plan. This is like you buy your lot. You've got a plan that fits all of the codes, and your next-door neighbor doesn't like something about what you're doing. They can't come in and say, I don't like this minor issue, so they shouldn't get to build a house. That's what happened here. And it creates such uncertainty now in our land use system. It's going to be very difficult for anyone, including homeowners, business owners, manufacturing owners, government buildings, et cetera, to rely on city zone code if it's going to be subject to the kind of whims that we saw last night.
Wow.
So very, very bad news. Bad news. This is not good public policy. People ought to be able to rely on the decision-making of its councils over time and the honesty associated with that. Both were missing last night.
Wow. You don't have any strong feelings about this, Mayor Bennett.
I really do. And you know what, Brent? Just sort of a little side note, little historical note. I was the only vote against this land use change on the Planning Commission at the time it came through. I had a whole series of reasons, I'm sure, but I genuinely feel that when you've made this kind of commitment as a city, you have an obligation to stick with it unless you want to go back through the zone change process. But this is misusing our land use and building code system, and I'm real unhappy about it. I got to tell you, this could hurt the community. This is just the kind of thing that business or homeowners, potential homeowners, look at and go, oh boy, you just can't count on this place. I've had to be very careful here.
We're talking to City of Salem Mayor Chuck Medent about the Costco relocation to Kubler and the land use decision last night. If they were not asking for a variance or a zone change, how is it even able to be called up if everything's complying with, like you said, the regulations and the zoning requirements?
It shouldn't have been called up. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Yeah, it. You can do it, but it's generally to make sure everything's compliant with the rules and that there is some sort of variance or something not compliant. And I'm sure there probably is buried in all this a variance or some other, some other minor action, although that never came forward. But it's a chance for the staff at all to go over the site plan. This was a direct attack, I think, on the land use, the underlying zoning. And I think that's not a healthy situation, obviously.
I can't say that I disagree with you, and I totally understand. If you buy a lot that's designed and zoned, we ran into this in Ward 7 back in the day over in Southwest Salem where it's zoned for residential. And they're like, well, there's going to be these new residential houses, and I don't want them. And it's like, well, it's zoned for residential. They don't even have to ask your permission. This is under the comprehensive plan to have houses built on it as the city grows and so forth. We always want to make the point when we talk about this, people think Salem grows too much, that it's less than 2% over the last 50 or 60 years. It's a very moderate amount of growth. It's just that there is some.
I think it's also been really well managed. I think there are some sticking points, particularly in our transportation system, particularly at the Willamette River and having enough crossings. there's only so much you can talk people into proceeding with.
I do have one more question before we run into a break, but in the determination of the Costco, there were arguments from the opponents that were saying that it was a regional draw and not a local store. A regional. How much did that play into the councilor's decision making?
Well, if it did, it was wrong. The issue had been resolved by the city council back then instead of using the words regional or trying to talk about it in some sort of geographic value sense, they put a square footage requirement on their definition of what could go in there. And it was a total of 299,000 square feet, about 300,000 square feet could go in total square footage. Well, the proposal is under that amount. And that's kind of where we are. I mean, that's just a red herring. That's not real. That's not in the code. That's not relevant.
Uh-oh. We losing the mayor there?
Promised us just a neighborhood parking or a shopping center. No, what they are promised is a shopping center of less than 299,000 square feet or less.
Wow, we do see a lot of times when people are advocates that they like to bring up topics that really not one of the measurement sticks.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not. Oh, that's good. I did not know that, so I appreciate the fact your information there and that I asked that. Yeah, it is maybe a regional draw, but it's retail. It's retail of the appropriate size and appropriate
zone. It's a shopping center. That's all it says. It's for a shopping center. Okay.
Mayor, I have one quick question. Would there have been the pushback if it was a Fred Meyer shopping center?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't think it was centered on Costco. I think almost everyone there is a member. Almost everyone said, I'm not mad at Costco. I just think they're in the wrong location. I think they ought to stay where they are or go somewhere else. You know, there's all this other you know, it's real easy to spend the other guy's money. No, I don't think so. I don't think that was it. I think what's going to happen is if for some reason this doesn't occur, the next one could face the same problem. Now, whether PAC Trust can even develop this property under this situation, because there's always someone who doesn't like something.
Right.
And trust me, they want to have PAC Trust pay for their road, their street, and a giant park for them. And that's not what this is zoned for. We need this for our commercial retail development. South Salem needs this commercial development.
And will PAC West get their money back if it doesn't go through? That's couple of million dollars, right?
Yeah, about six, no. No, that's why I think they'll sue.
I would, too.
They have, in good faith, invested a substantial amount of money in Kubler and other street system back there, or down there, and when you operate in good faith and everybody's supposed to be on the kind of the up and up, you have a right certain level of expectation, and they have been kind of duped. So I don't think they'll put up with it. I hope not.
Wow. And we ran into the same kind of thing in a lot of land use cases where people saying, this is what I want you to do with your property.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I can't believe the number of emails we got with really, really fabulous advice for Costco on how to conduct their business. How PAC Trust should deal with their land. And, you know, I'm very supportive of our land use system. Always have been, always will be. I'm very, very strongly supportive of it. But this is outside of that. This is where people are not honoring this really outstanding system. This is the kind of action that calls our entire land use system into question.
All right, Mayor Bennett, we're going to have to go.
Counselors didn't mean that to happen, but it's what they did.
Well, we'll have you back in the studio. We'll talk for another hour here before too long.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it. You're listening to 1430 KYKN. We'll be right back. Salem's listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back, folks, to the Newsmakers. We ran long there talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett. We thank him for being on the show to talk about the land use decision regarding Kubler Boulevard and the development for Costco. That land use decision is hot in terms of whether or not it was appropriate, whether or not it'll get appealed, and so forth. It's interesting, his point, that the councilors that want gridlock on the bridge, that want gridlock in West Salem, that they believe that gridlock will get us all out of our cars, are suddenly concerned about congestion in
right.
South Salem. So gridlock is good over here, but not good over there, and it sounds like they're making excuses. But
can we say double standard?
Yeah. Holy cow. We're going to have mayors back on. There's some more of that land use. Some of this stuff is decided and some not on the old state hospital, off of Center Street, huge pieces of parcel where the neighbors again were saying, well, I want you to do this with it. I want a green space and so on and so forth. Exciting stuff. Hey, we're going to be back tomorrow. So be sure to stay tuned to 1430 for your noon hour. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.